Blog Talk Radio.
Matadera guagua, bibi guagua, bibi. Matadera guagua, bibi guagua, bababa. Matadera guagua, bibi guagua, kiana guti. Matadera guagua, suimaco. Matadera guagua, suimaco. Thank you.
Hey, how's everyone doing tonight? The Spooky Lou back in action, all the way out from Area 51. Not really, but close by. Anyways, we have a busy night. Tonight's not a normal night. We did have a special show. However, Sanagori has something very important he's working on, so he might be able to hop back on. So this isn't going to be a regular show, but we're going to make it spectacular anyways, right? So with that said, you know, we're going to go over to the weather, and I'm going to introduce, what is it, Spooky Dog Creepy Stuff, my psychic leader.
Hey, Spooky Lou, what's going on?
Oh, I'm just trying to wake up, trying to wake up. It's unfortunate, but everything's great. Showing in this cold night, just to let you know, I'm in the desert, middle of Nevada, in Las Vegas, and it's pretty cold. It's 48 degrees right now. And,
what?
You know, yeah, going anywhere from just a few months to, just a few months ago, 115, 125, to going down to 48 degrees is pretty rough. So I'm cold right now. I need some hot chocolate.
Wow.
That's how's it back in New York?
Who's
that?
I would say it's cold, but it's not as cold as where you are right now.
Really?
Right now in New York, it's 63 degrees and completely clear skies. Where I am in New York, it's 54 degrees, which is out of Nassau County. So we're still much, much warmer than you. And I'm trying to process how, because that's not what I would have expected for this evening at all.
Well, this, well, let me tell you, when I first, you know, yeah, because you're from New York, you're in Nevada, you think desert, you think it's just, you know, really dry, and it's always hot. But when I moved out here, I learned very quickly that winter exists. I mean, 2 hours from here, you go up, there's already snow. You can look up in the mountains and there'll be snow. And it drops here in the desert. It gets cold. It gets down to 30. Matter of fact, I saw it snowed here and it's sitting in the ground. I mean, it melted by the next day. But people don't realize that winter in the desert is pretty cold. It's not all year round what people believe. It's rough.
Wow.
I can't lie.
I really did think that the desert is just the desert, at least out here. You know, I figured, you know, it's not going to be how it would be in, like, the city. But it makes sense. It makes complete sense.
Yeah, the only time it's really hot is in the zone. What is it?
I said, but 40-something degrees right now? Mm-mm. No, that does not make me happy. I'm not going to make you any more happy, because I guess I'll let you know right now that Puerto Rico, San Juan specifically, is experiencing showers, but it's 81 degrees. Double what you're dealing with right now. So, you know. Sorry, be jealous.
Sorry, be jealous.
You're going to be extra jealous, actually, because I'm leaving to Puerto Rico on Saturday. So I'm going to be sending you guys a whole bunch of pictures, like, ha-ha, here I am. And Sunset, let's see what else we have to. In Port-au-Prince, it's 79 degrees and cloudy. And
sorry, I lost connection for a moment there. Go ahead.
No problem. And Trinidad and Tobago, it's 79 degrees and mostly clear. Sanakori's favorite place on earth is Montego Bay, and it's mostly clear with 81 degrees. In Santo Domingo, it's mostly cloudy and 73. And in Havana, Cuba, it is partly cloudy and 79 degrees. And that's your weather report for the night.
Wow, you don't sound creepy now, but okay. Sounds like Channel 7 or something like.
That's what I was going for, Channel 7 vibes.
Yeah, you just did a great job. Good job. Wonderful God. So, yeah, you know, we certainly had a show that was especially based on reincarnation. And we're kind of going to flow with it, but we did need Santa Cody to be part of it. But as soon as he can, I'm sure he'll join us. And I was going to say, let's recap and touch base, because the prior show we talked about demonic stuff. The following show we did speak about angels, you know, mm-hmm. and then we were going to go into reincarnation and how all of that plays in. You know, I was watching an interesting show or a documentary about this boy. I don't know if you ever heard of it. If you have, let me know. Well, this boy, he was like 3 or 4 years old. And one day,
is this the boy
from
the Titanic?
Was it the Titanic, or he was a fighter pilot in World War II or something? And
oh,
he could
no,
describe.
Yes, I think that might have been it.
So you've heard about this story about boy that?
Yes, I thought that little boy was so interesting. He made me feel normal.
So if you remember the story, share the story, please.
Okay, so I don't have full details on what it is, but there was this little boy who, at around 3 or 4 years old, he would draw photos of what some people could consider like past traumas, right? So he would draw plane crashes, he could identify parts of planes and structures and the way the layout of the inside of the planes were. And his parents couldn't really figure out where the fascination came from, because they knew, like, you know, little boys, they're into aeronautics, right? That's how you call it? That's what you say?
Aeronautics?
They like planes. Oh. Yes, there you go. You know, little boys like boats and cars and stuff like that. So they thought it was just a fascination that he had with planes, and some way, somehow, the internet, the TV, you know, family members, daycare, whatever it could have been, he was being influenced and provided this information until he started to give specifics about things that the people around him had no idea about. And I think they went to a museum one day and the little boy had broken down or had an episode and started talking about a physical structure, like a plane that they had inside of the museum. And, you know, he would always say, I remember when, I remember when, I remember when. Everything was always I. So at first they tossed it up to, you know, he's just being a kid and he's just talking about things in this capacity because he doesn't know other ways to say it. So he's always going to say I. To really listen to him. And, you know, they would then start to entertain the questions like, well, what do you remember? And I think it was his mom would write down all of the things, and then she would go online and cross-reference them to the things that she would find, like when she was researching it. And she started to really see that he knew what he was talking about. Some way, some shape, some form, some fashion, he had this information, and there was no way that her little kid, her 4-year-old or 5-year-old at that time, no way he would be able to have this information. So she kept on doing more research about what she called to be his condition. And she ended up finding some stuff online about past life regressions. And she firmly believed, her and I believe her spouse firmly started to believe, that her child wasn't really just her child. It was her child. You know, she cultivated this child inside of her womb. She birthed this child. Mm-hmm. It was hers. He had a soul and everything. But he had another life, a past life, that was tethered to him. So he had memories of a individual who was in, you know, a pilot, that flew planes and died, I believe it was crashed in the plane. And for some reason, that soul...
A fighter pilot, right?
Or that
life,
yeah.
World War I or World War II. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, something like that. So some way, some shape, some form, some fashion, he ended up tethering to this unborn baby who was then brought into the world and carried that spirit in almost a, not a reincarnation, but a tethered form. So it was like a dual situation where they cohabitated, basically. And I saw that on some, as cheesy as it sounds, I saw it on a paranormal show years and years and years ago. And right after I watched that show, I told my mom about it. And I'm just like, yo, it's so crazy because, you know, we've talked about reincarnation all the time. We talk about what happens when you die and where you go and what happens, you know, once your spirit is done roaming and what goes on, right? And she's just like, oh, well, you know, you had something like that when you were a kid. I'm just like, what?
Really? Your mom, wait, let's backtrack just for a second. Let's start from the beginning. So one day, I need to hear the surrounding, the settings of what occurred. So let's start from the beginning. So you were with your mom and you were speaking with this, or you were watching it together?
No, I lived in New York. I've lived in New York by myself without, you know, any family in the area since I was about 18. My mom lives in Pennsylvania. So,
okay.
Hey, Mom, because I know she's listening to the show. So, hi, Mom.
Hello, Mom. Wendy.
But, yeah, so I had called her, and I told her, and she's like, yeah, you know, it's cool, but it's creepy at the same time, hence the creepy stuff. So we got into a conversation about it. Apparently, when I was little, when I was three-ish, I believe, I had an imaginary friend, or what I called an imaginary friend, and her name was Cleo, right? Nobody knows where the hell I came up with the name Cleo. Nobody knows how I got here, what happened, none of that, right?
Okay.
But I grew up with, we've touched on where I've grown up with my house of interesting people. It was my grandmother, you know, my aunt would come and visit, the one that we had spoken about in a previous show, and my grandmother.
That's right.
So, I had conversations all the time with my aunt that she was my sister. All the time. She wasn't my tia. You know, she wasn't my titi. Her name was Titi Judy to me. But I, you know, that was like my sister. I would always tell her she was my sister, my sister, my sister, my sister. And she's grown. You know, my aunt is 4 years younger than my mother. So she's a maternal age for me. But I would call her and tell her that we were sisters. We were sisters and we lived in Egypt. I was 5 years old saying I wanted to be an archaeologist because I wanted to go back to Egypt and find all of these things that I was missing. So my aunt, apparently, she would entertain the ideas that when I brought it up to my mother told me, you know, you had this whole obsession with Egypt as a child, and we don't know where the heck it came from because, you know, we're not from Egypt. We don't follow customs of Egypt. So why, you know, do you have this affinity towards the pyramids and these specific areas and this culture when that's not what we're teaching you? I lived in a completely Puerto Rican household, like,
Straight
up and down. I was three.
Yeah, So you were 3 years old and you would just tell your mom.
And I was talking about Egypt. Yeah. 3 years old, talking about Egypt, saying that my aunt was my sister. And when we lived there, you know, we would do things like I don't think we were indentured servants, but I do believe we were like children of a person who did do servitude, but lived within the kingdom. Because when I would explain the ways that we dressed or the things that we did and stuff like that, it wasn't, you know, sad times. It was happy times as a child. But I also didn't identify as a 3-year-old at that point. You know, I was telling her about ourselves, you know, my aunt and I, younger children, maybe 8-ish, 12. So she was absolutely older than me, but I didn't present myself as a 3-year-old, you know, or a 4-year-old. And like I said, at 5, back in my day, we did kindergarten like half days. We didn't do full days of kindergarten. So we had this like little show at the school where we all had to talk about what we wanted to be when we grow up. And, you know, it's the regular stuff, doctors, lawyers, teachers, police officers. And here comes this little brown girl talking about, I want to be an archaeologist because I'm trying to go to Egypt and find all the things I'm missing. And it's just like, wait, who coached this kid? And my mom is just like, look, I don't know where the hell this came from. I don't know what it is. And even to this day, my mother's just like, I don't know how you're so smart. I don't know what it is. I don't know what goes on. I don't know why you do the things you do or think the way that you think, but you've been here. You've been here before. And now she looks back at it and she's like, you know, I wish I knew the things I knew then that I know now, so I could have sheltered you a little bit more and untethered you from certain things and closed you off from spirits to give you this regular childhood. And I'm just like, you know, I'm kind of happy that you didn't, because then I couldn't be creepy Seth, you know? But yeah, my aunt would always entertain the conversations. She was very, very into listening to what I had to say. And she had a notebook and she would write down all of my stories that I would tell her. And she's just like, you know, every once in a while, I would at that time look back at it and read it like, who the hell is this 3-year-old, 4-year-old telling me these things? Because adults can't even speak in this capacity at some stages. So as somebody who doesn't really remember most of it,
I was about
but
to ask
hearing
you that.
The stories and knowing the stories, you know, I absolutely 1,000% remember Cleo. I remember her, and I remember that I held on to that imaginary friend until maybe I was 8 or 9. And the affinity for Egypt has always lived with me after the fact. So I was untethered. I was able to move past that past life regression. And in some way, I guess, because it was so near and dear to me, because I did live with it from birth till whenever the untethering happened, I always had an affinity for it. So now, you know, I taught myself how to read Hieratic at a younger age. I went to a school up in Syracuse, New York, in elementary school, and they actually taught us how to write our names in Egyptian hieroglyphs. So we had an entire course study in friggin' third grade about Egyptian hieroglyphics, how to read them, how to write them. I want to say the elementary school was like H.W. Smith Elementary School in Hughes, New York. If not, it was Salem Hyde, because I went to 2 different elementary schools up there. But they did. They had an entire lesson structured on it. And from that point on, I ended up teaching myself Hieratic. Like, when I was pregnant with my first son, I ended up getting a book to do refresher courses. And then they brought the King Tut sarcophagus and the mummies to the New York Museum, the Natural History Museum. And I was able to stand in front of a lot of the things that were there and literally read the things that were, you know, sitting there, you know, what was transcribed. And I'm sitting there standing, you know, with my son reading them, like, you know, this is what this says, this is what this says. They completely made this up and just threw characters on here because this says this and this and this and this. They're not sentences. And then it was just like a crowd of people behind me, and they're just like, are you one of the curators? And I'm just like, nah, I just have an unnatural obsession with Egypt. And they're just like, oh, well, that's so cool. I'm just like, yeah, well, thanks. I appreciate it. It's normal for me. So, you know, stop looking at me like I'm this oddity. It's always
an oddity, but go ahead.
I'm not an oddity.
You can't really blame them. Not everyone knows how to read that, you know.
Well, Lee, I've been blessed. I can read 11 languages and I can speak 7. So, Haratic is one of them and Latin is another. So I'm pretty good with the dead languages. But yeah, so it's definitely an overwhelming thing. And especially when it shows up in kids, it becomes this, I don't even know how to describe it, but it becomes this naturalness with them. And it goes past inquisitiveness. It really it fortifies who they are. And for some children, they become untethered through the help of a medium, by helping the spirit that's tethered to them move on and, you know, transfer themselves into wherever it is that they're supposed to go. But other children, they grow up into adults and adolescents, and they end up splitting their personality, where people actually think that there's a mental disconnect or a mental disorder that they're experiencing, and they don't understand that it could be a past life regression. So some people just have quote-unquote old souls, you know, where they resonate in a different way because their spirit is just at that point of maturity that, you know, it's only a few more times until I come back to Earth, and then I'm done coming back to Earth, and I'm just going to be, you know, a forever ancestor instilling wisdom and guidance. And cool. Other times it's just like, hey, I'm here. What's good? So, yeah, no, I heard about the kid, and after I watched it, apparently I was told, hey, you're one of those kinds of kids, so don't judge, you know.
That's a very interesting story. I really had no idea, yeah, that you were going to share something like that. That's pretty cool. Like, wow, you know, I'm blown away by your story, and it's a pretty interesting area to say that you were from, right? I mean, Egypt was what, 10,000 years ago, 8,000, and to say that, you know, that you had that experience and you actually can understand and learn that today, it's a pretty amazing story. You know, you should write something on it. There might be other people that can connect and share stories if they have had similar experiences. Now, I can't say that that's ever happened to me. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I said even if they're still going through it, you know, if anybody is listening that has gone through it or feel that they are tethered to something or someone is tethered to them, you can always write into the show and, you know, we can work on trying to get that taken care of for you, whether it's teaching you or helping you get through working with it so that you can move with acceptance or getting it removed. You know, we can try and do something as far as providing information or guidance with it. But go ahead.
True. Very good to sharing. No, I was just saying, you know, I can't ever say that I feel that I've experienced anything as far as maybe me living another life, you know, besides or a reincarnation, besides having deja vu. But one weird thing did happen, which I didn't understand, was. So I lived in Canada for like 7 years, right? Now I was going back and forth at one time, and I remember that the first time I've ever went out, I lived in Winnipeg, and first time I'm flying on a plane. Sorry, let me rephrase that. Not on a plane. I've been on a plane many, many, many times, but on my first time going to visit Winnipeg, on my way there, I was looking out the window. And the pilot said, oh, if you look to the left, you'll see the Red River. So, of course, right, I look out to the left from the plane, and I'm seeing the snake-looking river. It's beautiful. And I don't know, for some reason, I said out loud, I'm home. And then I just stopped myself, and I was like, why did I just say I'm home? To me, that was just like, I don't know. I couldn't understand why I said I'm home. And the crazy thing is that when I was there, I really felt like I was home. I felt like I was familiar with the area. I felt like this is where I needed to be. I felt like some sort of energy of like I was connected to that whole area is what it felt like to me. It almost felt like to me like at one time I came from there. I can't explain it. I can't. I know it's
wow.
very weird, and it's yeah. I know it's just out there, but I just don't have. I don't know why. You know, I don't know why I said that. And when I lived out there, it's just I felt like I belonged there. You know, like everywhere I went, I felt like I was from there. And it's almost like things would call me. It's almost like I even had a more powerful spiritual experience while I was out there as well. I was having many spiritual experiences while I was out there, very powerful ones. So I've always wondered, you know, could I maybe have come from there? So I became friends with this with a good friend of mine. His name is Matt. He's from an Ojibwe tribe up there. And one day, years later, I'm out here. I had a dream. And I had a, and it's crazy I told him this. I had a dream that there was a war, but it wasn't a war today. It's as if I was there, right? And I had a war club with me, and we were fighting another tribe, and he was there. And in my dream, my friend was there. And we had an attack, and we started fighting these people. And in my dream, I pushed them out of the way, and I got hit with with someone's war club, and I died. Like, I woke up after that.
What did
and
you get hit?
I woke in the head, from what I remember.
Do you have a birthmark on your head?
I do actually have a birthmark in my head.
Okay,
I do have
go
a
ahead.
Birthmark
I'll circle back when you're done. Go ahead.
Well, I know what you're going to say, because when I was out there, I also learned that they said if you have a birthmark like the one I have or something like that, that was from your past life, right?
Yes.
And that's how, like a wound or how you died or something like that. So I remember sharing this story with him. He shared it with other people, and they were like, it sounds like you reincarnated, and this is where you were at one time, and that's probably you saw how you died in a past life. And an interesting thing I did, I don't recommend this because I had a conversation with Sean and Cody about past life and regressions, right? Because I had an experience and I wanted to do what you were saying before. What is it? Transgression? What is it? It's just slipping my mind right now. When you go under, what a psychologist and they kind of hypnotize you.
When they hypnotize
go
you?
Go back. Yes, like try. Yeah, so I wanted to do that, right? So I was exploring, and I should put it out there because
you got high.
Yeah, well, I didn't get high. I don't get high, but I wanted to. It's not my thing, but I wanted to explore and do research, and I actually went on YouTube looking at some stuff, and there's actually people there, and there's actually programs that can hypnotize you. To do past life regressions and to see, just to have an experience. So, you know, speaking of Sana Cody, who's also a psychotherapist, right? He was like, I don't recommend that because you don't know what you might deal with. Something, it might open up something in the past that may cause depression or may cause, you know, something that just may bother you, a trauma, and there's no one's going to be there to help you. So I don't recommend you doing it. But, of course, I'm not going to listen. I did it anyway, right? But I'll tell you right now, I had an interesting experience. I tried doing this exercise that was on there, and I had this crazy dream. I woke up feeling like it was so real. I fell asleep to it, felt like it was real. I was dreaming that I was a white person. From like Bosnia or one of the countries out there,
Bosnia.
Right? It's crazy, and I was dreaming that I was out in the middle of the mountains.
Oh, that's the Bosnian music.
Is that what? That's beautiful music, right? That was beautiful.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you for that spooky, I don't know where music just came on, right? Kind of scared the hell out of me. I didn't expect that. So, I really didn't.
You can't get spooked.
Thank
you're
you,
Bob. You're supposed to do the spookying.
Well, I'm spooky for a reason because I get spooked easily. So.
Who's that?
But it was crazy because when I did it, I was dreaming that I was out in the mountains, right? And there was like a bunch of tents, and I was dreaming that I was like a leader in like guerrilla warfare. Like there was an actual war or an uprising, and there was a military kind of paramilitary that was out there, and I was in charge, and we were all sleeping on like cots and tents while we were having this war. And I woke up feeling like it was so real. Like, it was just a very interesting experience that I had when I did that. And it just makes me think, we had many different lives, you know, does everyone experience this? You know, speaking of my own brother, one day he admitted to me, he said, you know, for years, I keep having this dream that I wake up and I open the door to my apartment. And I walk into this apartment, and I look at myself in the mirror, and I'm this old white guy. And he's like, I know I'm in Germany.
What put you on the
and
white people?
Back in, I don't know. What's wrong with white people? Hey, you know what I mean? I don't know. But remember, that was just could have been one life. What if reincarnation
right.
is experiencing many different lives, many different people? Because remember, that was one dream of me being this white person, but then I had a dream that I was a Native American.
Right,
North,
being indigenous.
You know,
so
in the middle of a war.
Did you ever research the war to see if maybe you could find information on it?
I never. You know what's a good idea? I've never researched on it.
I
never.
Think you should. I'm interested to find out if you could find something out, since you know the generalized area region.
I'll tell you what, I think you should because you're interested and they could explain to me. That's my way of being lazy and say, hey,
oh
can
my
you do something? Hey, cool. I'm just kidding. But yeah, you know what? It's a great idea. Maybe I'll do some research and look into that. It will be. You're right. So do some research and then we'll share if we find anything down the line.
Spooky.
But that's really my only experiences that I've ever come across or I personally had with anything of reincarnation. Or like I said, deja vu. One thing I've learned also from the Native of North is that they say when you have deja vu, that just means you're on the right path. I don't know if that has anything to do with reincarnation, but you know, I've also spoke to this psychic one time. She did cards for me. And she told me I was an old soul and I had many different lives. And I've been coming back for thousands of years already. Just she told me. But if that
I had
were
somebody
true,
tell me something similar.
Really? But this is the thing. If that were true, I feel like I would have figured out how to be a millionaire by this time.
Absolutely.
I mean, keep coming back. Why not?
No. Because, okay. So, from what I've been taught, right, the more you come back, it's because you're here to serve a specific purpose. So for me specifically, right, when I was told that I was an old soul, I was told that I'm a healing soul. So every time I come back, I find myself in a physical body that is drawn to healing. Whether it's right now where I do holistic therapy for people, holistic medicine and doula work, or a previous life, maybe I was a nurse or a doctor, or a life before that, maybe I was a medicine person for a specified tribe, or the time before that, maybe I was, you know, in an infirmary or something. But every time I came back, I was dedicated to being something medicinal, someone who practices with their hands medicine. And that's how she explained to me what I was, because she asked me at this time, I want to say I was freshly done with holistic medicine, like finishing it over at New York College of Health and Professions out here in New York. And when I sat and I spoke with her, the first thing that came out her mouth was, so you're a healer of some sort. And I said, no, I'm not a, what do you mean? I'm not a healer of some sorts. I mean, I did go to school for holistic medicine, but I haven't done anything yet. And she says, no, you're a healer. You're here because you're supposed to be a healer. Whether you're a nurse, you're a doctor, you're this, you're that, this is your path. Your path is the medicine path. And mind you, this is not an indigenous person. So for her to say a medicine person, that was telling for me, because she was, you know, blonde hair, blue eyes, regular North American Caucasian woman. But she used verbiage that was near and dear to me. You know, as a medicine person, that's what indigenous people call those who take care of the tribe with medicine, holistic practices. So, you know, when you look at me, I look Hispanic for the most part. So it's not like she could say, oh, you know, you look like Pocahontas. This is what I'm going to say. Like, no, I don't look like the quintessential native. Say, yeah, you do look like quintessential native. But, you know, there was no context for her to give me that. And then after she tells me that, she proceeded to tell me about my dead grandmother who died of cancer, my grandfather who died of natural causes, but they were caused due to alcoholism. And then she told me about another guardian that I have. And because it was so specific on how the people died, I couldn't refute the information that she was giving me. So for me, how I was taught, it was your soul comes back because it has a very specific path for you to reach. It doesn't necessarily mean that you've been given all of the information that you need to be able to retrace your steps and put yourself in a different position. It puts you in a place for you to do something of what you didn't get to finish the last time. So if your end goal is XYZ and you've only made it halfway through the alphabet, your soul's going to keep on coming back, or your spirit's going to keep on coming back until you reach that end goal. So, I mean, Lou, you just might not have to be a millionaire in this life. That just might not be in the cards right now.
That is the case so far. I mean, I haven't had a million yet, so yeah, I have to agree. None of the cards. But maybe it might be in there.
I don't know. Maybe our souls were supposed to be here, and this is what we're supposed to do. Maybe we're supposed to be here to be Creepy Steph and Spooky Lou. How about that?
I agree, because that's exactly where we are, no doubt. But, yeah, so that's pretty much, you know, the story that I can share with about reincarnation. You know, to that Sanaroki, Sanakori, was supposed to share this part,
de Hana.
There you go, whatever you said. But,
oh, man.
Yeah.
But what's your personal opinion on it?
Reincarnation?
What is your personal opinion about reincarnation? What do you think?
You know, I grew up Catholic, right? As a diehard Catholic, you're not supposed to believe in that because, you know, we all die and one day Jesus is going to come back and you know, and then save all the... And then go through the judgment times, and then we find out if we're going to live forever or not, whatever the case may be. But, so, when I was a kid, it was like a struggle for me to really believe that, but I've always felt in my heart that, yes, we can come back. Why can't we come back? You know, maybe, you know, if God is so powerful, the Creator is so powerful, why can't He grant certain things to occur or happen? You know, why is it that maybe it is true that we come back to learn different lessons? You know, I've heard that the people in this lifetime that you meet are people that you've met in your past lifetime, you know, and you just see them later on again.
And so I personally believe that anything is possible, especially after I had my paranormal experiences. You know, I don't care what anyone thinks or judge, because it's my experiences. I know what I've witnessed. So I believe that it is possible. I don't see why not. You know, Hinduism, but there's many other religions believe, and they believe that the reincarnations. And so who's to say who's right, who's to say, you know, yeah, who's to say who's right and who's wrong? But I believe anything is possible, and I do believe it could be possible. I'm sure you do, because you said you believe in your little girl. It's the Egyptian with Cleo, right? It's Cleo.
Yeah, my imaginary friend named Cleo. My mom's going to listen to the show, and she's going to start cackling. Here she goes talking about Cleo. All she used to do was talk about Cleo, and now she's doing it all over again. Yes, mother, yes.
I mean, and be though, Miss Cleo.
But yeah, I definitely think that reincarnation is a possibility. I don't think everybody goes through it. I do think that you have to have a certain something about you to be able to do it. People who are able to commune with the dead, same thing with people who have these innate abilities that may seem otherworldly. Like it just has to be genetically embedded in you for you to be able to have these kind of experiences in some way, shape, or form. It has to just be a part of you. You know, it's not like you can sit down and do a ceremony and say, okay, ancestors, in the next life I want you to do this. You know, don't disrespect the ancestors like that. It doesn't work that way. You can ask for it and ask for it and ask for it, but it wasn't given to you to begin with, so it wasn't meant for you to have it. So take it for what it is and, you know, respect the process. Some people do it, some people don't, some people have it, some people won't. Ooh, check me out, sounding like a rapper. but, you know, I do believe that some people just innately have the ability to experience these kind of things. The aliens like you, homie, so, you know, that's your thing. You know,
that's right. That ain't my thing.
So it's going to really be contingent on everybody else. But I do, you know, I do agree with you when you did say that some people do say that everybody that you've met here and, you know, you've had correspondence with, for the most part, close relations, who you've known before. You know, they talk about the soulmates, the soulmate thing. A lot of people think that it might not be reincarnation, but a lot of people think that soulmates will always find each other in one way, shape, or form. And in China, because, you know, I am part Chinese, guys, we have the idea or the belief that every person has a red string tied to their finger, and at the end of the other red string is their soulmate. And you're supposed to spend your entire life finding the person at the end of your string, the red string. You know, the red string, red in China is good luck. So the red string is your connection. It's your tether to the other person. And it's your cosmic duty to find your partner through how all of these other people in the entire world, and you might not be in the same space at the same time with them all the time, or they can be in the same apartment building as you and, you know, live upstairs and you don't even know it. But it comes a time where cosmically you bump into each other, and it's this surge, this feeling of undeniable connection that you have. Like, do I really have these feelings this quick for this person? You know, is this really just infatuation? And that might just be your soulmate. And some people run with it. Other people are just like, no, too good to be true, moving on to the next person. And then they end up in solitude the whole time because they didn't take that chance with that individual. So
I know. I know the feeling.
Right, I'm still looking for my soulmate because I think I screwed that up a long time ago, maybe a few times.
So, you know, that's something that definitely a lot of people resonate with at different levels. And we all don't necessarily have one soulmate. We have a soulmate, you know, that's supposed to be that person that we're supposed to have this undeniable connection with romantically. And then we should have a soulmate that we resonate with in a friendship capacity that is everything that balances you out. And, you know, some people believe that there's a soulmate for you in almost every category. You just have to find them. So depending on what part of the world you come from, a lot of people believe in some way, shape, or form that your spirit connects to other spirits, whether it's through reincarnation or through, you know, just a natural attraction. It's something to consider, because if people can have these past life regressions and people can experience reincarnation and people do have the capacity to resonate with one another energetically, right, then why can't situation, you know, or why can't it be all those other things? And that's what creates the reincarnation. You have unfinished business. So instead of you turning into a ghost and just wandering the realm, why aren't you coming back reincarnated? You know, there has to be a bigger purpose. It can't just be a whole bunch of dead people up in the sky being ancestors to everybody. You know, somebody has to come back down here and teach what needs to be taught. How many of our world leaders have we seen mimicking the behaviors, the habits, the ideas, the forward thinking of somebody from a time before them? You know, so at what point do we really say, is it reincarnation or is it not? You know, is it a tethering, or, you know, is it something else? But these ideas are coming from somewhere. You know, these innovations come from somewhere. You can't tell me that they figured out gravity solely because the damn apple fell from the tree. You know, there had to be so much more to that. Albert Einstein is sitting here doing physics at 4 years old. There has to be more to it. Where did it come from?
Interesting.
And a lot of people will argue, oh, you know, ancient alien theorists will say it's aliens. You know, it's the aliens. But, I mean, come on. We're indigenous. What do we talk about? We talk about the creator, and we talk about the ancestors. The only people who can give us what's already been seen and already been done are the people who have been here. And they can whisper it in your ear all you want to, but, you know, especially us, we stubborn. So you either take heed to it or you don't. So after so long, they're going to be tired of whispering in your ears and being ignored. They're going to come back. And they're going to come, and they're going to do what they have to do, and they're going to relive what they've already relived, and they're going to instill those ideas and those memories and, you know, give that motivation. And it might just be one person, but that one person can move millions in the right capacity, in the right ways. So, I don't know. I strongly believe in reincarnation, but I don't think it's a definitive of what reincarnation is. I think reincarnation can be so many other things in so many different ways, not just that one thing of, well, you've already been here once, so I'm coming back again. Like, nah, I think it's so much deeper than that.
You know, while I was listening to you, I just remembered one more story about reincarnation with me. I went with a friend. He asked me to go visit the psychic, and I just went along, tagging along. And since I was there, she just started talking to both of us. And then she told me, and you, right? She's helping him with his stuff. She tells me, and you. She's like, you know, she goes, how did she say this? She was like, you back in the days, you were a gangster. You were in a mob. And I was like, what? She goes, yeah.
Ooh, look at the phone.
She was like, you were a hitman for the mob back in the early 1900s. And you were an Italian, and you were feared. And I was like, wow, that sounds cool. Really? She's like, no, it's not cool. Because remember, karma, we all have to pay a price for what we've done in our past.
And I was like, well, I didn't do anything wrong. What are you talking about? I was like, I didn't kill anybody. Like, I don't know what you're talking about. But she tried to, I just thought that was kind of cool. But then I was like, I don't want to kill anyone. What is she? You know what I mean? Like, I thought that was a, I thought that was pretty interesting that she stated that. But yeah, you just reminded me of that as well. You know, and she did say what you said, that we do come and we have to learn experiences, but we're here for a reason. And we keep coming back, you know. It's just like in Hinduism. At the end, you keep coming back, many different souls, many different forms of life, until you reach nirvana, right? Until you reach the teaching you're supposed to reach. And then that's when you finally make it to heaven or nirvana, whatever that place is to you.
That final resting point.
Correct, the final resting point. It's correct. You know, I'm not sure how much more time we have left. Looks like we have 2 minutes, but you know, I want to thank everyone that tuned in to listen. Sorry we didn't provide the phone number, but if anyone wants to call in the future, it's 515-602-9792. And if anyone has ever experienced reincarnation, then contact us. Let us know. Tell us your story.
Yeah, share your story.
And yeah, and I hope that if we are coming back and there is reincarnation, that all of us, when we do reach nirvana and that happiness, and we figure out what's our purpose, you know, in life.
Exactly. What are you here for?
I'm here to eat.
Here just
I know. Yeah, I'm just here to eat because I love food and it's my problem, but... Other than that, I'm still trying to figure things out.
More than just that.
Still trying
to
figure things out.
To somebody.
I'm sure. What did you say?
I said I'm sure you bring peace to somebody.
Yeah, right. Having that's
why
you
bring joy and entertainment.
Right. That's why I can't find a soulmate that brings joy and entertainment.
Well,
it's too much, maybe.
You messed that up a while ago, so now you need to figure out where that happened. So if that was your third grade girlfriend, you better find her on Facebook and say, "Hey, long time no speak. How you doing?"
Oh wow, I tried that. It was too late. You know what I mean? It's one of those situations like, it's many years too late. Yeah, but all right. It's like 9 o'clock. I think the show's over. I'm not sure what's going on.
Yes,
music, but...
Is that God's way of telling us? Is that God's way of telling us to make our English? Oh, man. Well, if that is the case, everybody, thank you for joining us tonight. You know, hopefully we're entertained and educated at the same time. Again, unfortunately, we couldn't have Sanakoni on the show tonight, but trust and believe, he was doing some pretty cool and important stuff that we can probably touch on later on this week. Spooky Lou, thank you for spending time with me tonight. I appreciate it.
Likewise, it's always a pleasure, and anyone listening, please follow Spooky Lou's Paranormal on Facebook.
On Facebook.
And, on Facebook, Spooky Lou's Paranormal on Facebook. And I hope everyone has a good night.
Have a good night.